My name is Patrick J. McGinnis, and I coined the term FOMO. That's short for fear of missing out, and it's why some people end up following the crowd. But we're not like them. We're part of a new species that isn't afraid to do things differently. I call us FOMO sapiens. And this is the show where you'll meet people like us, phenomenal FOMO sapiens, to learn how they find the courage and the ideas to live exceptional lives.
FOMO. FOMO.
Welcome back to FOMO Sapiens, the show for people who don't just follow the crowd, but instead take their own path to success in business and in life. As always, I'm your host, Patrick J. McGinnis, venture capitalist by day, author and podcaster by night, and FOMO Sapiens 24/7. And we're going to continue the conversation we've been having about creativity. And today's topic is close to my heart because it's about how to learn from jazz, in particular, jazz improvisation, to be more creative in work and in life. Now, you probably don't know this about me, but as a kid, I was a very serious piano player. I mean, I was hardcore, and I made money playing the piano in high school and in college by playing jazz piano gigs, cocktail parties, and stuff like that. I played weddings. I played a lot of things, and I was very cheap. I think I charged like $25. So I should have raised those prices, but I grew up in a very musical household. My brother is a jazz musician full time. That's what he does for a living. And so jazz improvisation has always been a part of what I've done. And I like to think that I've learned something about creativity from it, but I learned a lot more from my guest today. And that guest is Michael Hendricks. He is a partner and the global design director at design and innovation consultancy IDEO, where he has worked on everything from home goods to homeland security. He is also, and this is the cool part, an assistant professor of music and management at the Berklee College of Music. And under his moniker, R.M. Hendricks, he has released half a dozen recordings of critically acclaimed experimental noise pop. And just because he's not busy enough, he is the author of the recent book, Two Beats Ahead, What Musical Minds Teach Us About Innovation, which he co-wrote with Panos Panay. So he's like living the dream. It's pretty cool combining a business career with a music career and then teaching about it. It's pretty awesome. And you're going to learn a lot today. You're going to learn how the lessons from the jazz world on collaboration and on riffing on ideas can serve in your life and your career. You're going to learn how to find more creativity in your daily life and how to overcome the fear of doing so. And we've got some great lessons from Justin Timberlake, who Michael interviewed for his book. And we're going to talk about consumption versus creativity and how you can shift away from consuming and into creating. Now, I do have a little small ask for you this week, and this one is personal. Go check out my brother's work. My absolute favorite, by the way, is this album he did called Road Trip. You put that on in the background, you listen to it, you do what you need to do. It is awesome. It's a group of 9 musicians. I went to the recording session. I just love it. So go check out Mike's music, please, because I promise you will like it. If you like the theme to this show, which he wrote, then you will love I like my theme, but it's nothing like the stuff he does on his own. Now, since this episode is all about improvisation, I decided to get into the spirit and not ask the usual first question, which is, what's the most important decision you've had to make to get to where you are today? Instead, I improvised and asked Michael, who is his favorite jazz musician?
Well, you're not going to be surprised, but it's Miles Davis.
Yeah, I mean, what do you have a particular album? For me, it's Miles Ahead. I don't know about you.
Well, I like songs. Sketches of Spain might be my favorite album of his. But what I like about him is his evolution as an artist. You know, I mean, when you hear Miles Davis, it doesn't matter, like, if he was doing bebop or something like Sketches of Spain, or if he's doing, you know, more of the free jazz thing, electric free jazz with Bitches Brew, you know, or even it's like inching into hip hop. He's like unmistakably Miles, and yet he's rotating all of these musicians around him to fulfill his creative vision or to reach the audience he wants. And I absolutely admire that about him. I mean, and obviously his artistry is off the charts, but it is more than just being able to do the same thing over and over again. He was able to evolve as an artist throughout his career.
He was like the Madonna of his time. Just kidding. Madonna is the Miles Davis of our time. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Both
incredible in that, you know, you have to give it to her because she's been at it for how long? 35 years and keeps it fresh. And same with Miles. So I love Miles Davis too, and I love Miles Ahead the most, but I have to say my favorite jazz musician is my brother, who is
Not just because he's my brother, of course.
Well played.
Much like Miles Davis, Mike McGinnis, and everybody, you can check him out. He's on all the platforms and stuff. He's very versatile, and he's an improv first kind of person. He teaches improv, in fact. And so today we're going to be talking about jazz musicians, their skills, and how those things apply in other areas. So just to jump right into that, you know, you've written this book, Two Beats Ahead. What is it about the musician's mindset that sets musicians up for success as entrepreneurs, leaders, and problem solvers? Because that's not an obvious, a lot of people think artists, flaky, they can't do anything else, which I don't agree with. And I don't, you know, obviously you don't either, but unpack that for us.
First, I want to say that, you know, musicians aren't more special than any other human. I think we all have the characteristics that musicians have, but musicians find themselves in circumstances that cause them to develop certain mindsets and skills faster than others. And that's because of the nature of the craft. So it could be learning how to listen so that you're inspired, or learning how to listen so that you can collaborate with others. It can be learning how to collaborate, which is finding the strengths in other people and finding ways to put those strengths with your strengths and create something new. It can be, like we were talking about Miles, it can be about understanding your core, understanding what your excellence is, and then being able to hold on to that as you explore new things that stretch you in new ways. So it is a mindset that cuts across a lot of different behaviors throughout our lives, and especially in an entrepreneurial space. I actually teach a class at Berklee College of Music that pairs these two things together. So when I'm sitting with musicians, or now, because they have merged with a conservatory, we have dancers, we have actors, as well as engineers. What I'm trying to do is help them understand that in their art, there are certain characteristics or mindsets that they can apply to other parts of their lives, just as I said. And I came across this idea in a very personal way. I mean, I'm a designer, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm a musician. So there was a point that I was starting to go, you know, do these three rivers merge in some way? What are the similarities? And how could I help other people build a vocabulary that helps them unlock these things for them?
Yeah. And you talk about, I thought it was interesting because I grew up playing music as a musician. I was really serious about it. I played jazz. Some of the things that you have to do when you're a musician, like say you're in an ensemble and you're choosing people for the ensemble, just the way that you choose folks is different than, you know, maybe the way we think about hiring, or when you're playing in a group and you're doing the different solos. Mm-hmm. You have to be comfortable being in the lead and then sitting back and being quiet, letting the other person go. And those are things that in the work world, you know, there can be hierarchy and structure. So I'd love it if you talk about some of those particularities of music world that you think lend themselves towards being more successful in the world of entrepreneurship and business.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the one you just mentioned, the idea that in an ensemble, you're going to trade the lead, right? I think about my most successful business partnerships, and that's usually the case. I mean, I before I came to IDEO, where I am today, I had a startup. It was in Tennessee. It was called Tricycle. And we worked with the carpet industry to help them, what we call dematerialized sampling. So we brought software, we brought visualization capability to their CAD and CAM, and we could take all their data and generate textiles on a screen. The best days of that partnership with my friends that we built the business with is not the days that we thought about our titles, you know, what the board of directors, who the board of directors was talking to, who the client thought was the most important person in the group. It was the days that we all felt we were riffing together. And the titles didn't mean a lot to us. You know, we all had roles to play. We recognized that. But when it came to who had the best ideas or about anything, whether it was operations, legal, marketing, that was free for all. We could all participate in that, whether it was our expertise or not. When I came to IDEO, I realized that was the way all project teams work. I mean, even though you have a project leader, so to speak, on a multidisciplinary team, the advantages of having people with different perspectives, different skill sets, means people can always lean in, contribute, and you can, and you personally can always feel like you can lean back and don't have to contribute when you don't have the knowledge. And that's really freeing, not to be the smartest person in the room, right? I think there's a lot of pressure in a lot of work environments to have the right idea, to look good, to make the decision that makes everybody go, ooh, you know, I want to follow you. And I actually don't believe that's a very constructive, creative position. I think what we're talking about from the musician's perspective is a lot more creative, a lot more what I would call collaborative, generally collaborative. FOMO.
Tell me if this sounds familiar. Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. Happy birthday. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close the books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs. Those are key performance indicators in one efficient system. Now, FOMO Sapiens, you know the show is all about making better decisions. And with this product, you can make better decisions because you have all the information you need right in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/FOMO. That's netsuite.com/FOMO to get your own KPI checklist. Because you know what? KPIs are better than ice cream. netsuite.com/FOMO.
FOMO.
So let's talk about improvisation because, you know, you're talking, I'm thinking about like when you're in a jazz group, for example, a combo with, you know, say four or five people, you got the piano player, they're playing the chords kind of, you got the drummer who's laying down the beat. You've got the bass player who's also laying down the beat as well. And then you have the soloists, you know, everybody kind of solos depending on what's going on, but you typically have like the sax and the trumpet and everybody's improvising over this sort of stable bass line and the stable drum line and all this sort of stuff. And improvisation is one of those things that like when you're a kid, I remember it's fun. It doesn't feel scary. Mm-hmm. You feel like it's kind of like skiing. If you learn it when you're a kid, you don't have the fear, but if you start as an adult, and you start improvising, it can be scary because you start to think, well, people are going to think I don't sound good, or they're going to think that the riff that I just came up with is not very good. How do we teach improvisation in a way that people sort of can be free to improvise? And what are the lessons of doing that for the business world?
Well, it's in the business world, you know, where improv will happen is usually it could be, you know, in a meeting, someone's like, does anyone have any ideas? Right. It could be more formal, like, let's do a brainstorm. It could be like, you know, a dire moment when everybody's like trying to solve a problem. But those are the improvised moments, right, where you're asked to respond to the situation. I think in a healthy environment, again, we're not asking people to do is come up with the best idea. What you're asking people to come up to do is just come up with an idea, right? Because the attention of the rest of the group shouldn't be to judge that person. What the attention of that group should be is to listen to what that person is saying, and then look for inspiration or new ideas from it. So, you know, that can happen in a lot of ways. You can hear somebody, you can think, well, that's an interesting idea. What else can I do with that? Or what else does that inspire me to think about? And I'll share that. And I just built on your idea, right? And now we just riffed off each other. We just traded licks, so to speak. And you'll hear it and go, oh, wow, I really like the way you took that. And that makes me think of X, Y, and Z. So it's about being open to each other and not there to, you know, cross her arms and be the devil's advocate or to be the judge, jury, and executioner. It's actually there to be inspired by each other. And I think it's one of the first things I would encourage people to think about is, you know, looking at their colleagues as people that, you know, they're a well of ideas, they're a well of inspiration. And it doesn't matter who they are, what role they play in the company, they've all got something to add. And if you believe that, then you won't judge the idea. You'll just be able to run with it and take it wherever you go.
Now, as I think about musicians, like my brother, I watched him practice over the years. I mean, you know, lived in the same house with him for 18 years of my life. And the way he learned how to play jazz, he had this book of Charlie Parker solos, everything the guy ever did. And he just played, maybe he still does this. He spent half a pandemic playing Charlie Parker, believe it or not. It's kind of interesting. All on live streaming and on Facebook, right? So he learned the steps, just like you study in school or something, to learn the basics. And then from that, he was able to branch out and come up with his own ideas, write his own pieces. So there is this basic language that musicians speak. I mean, there's the language of music, of course, the notes and as they're written on the page or as you come out with them. But then there's also the fact that you've built, you know, you're able to technically play the instrument to a point where you're, you know, you can do what your head tells you to do, you can do with your fingers. When we take that into a non-musical context, do you think it's the same? Are there other different challenges, or can you sort of apply the same approach?
I think it is the same. I mean, I'll break that down. I'll break down the Charlie Parker example. So, I'll start with your brother. Your brother is disciplined, right? And your brother is playing regularly. But we can't forget that creativity is a muscle that has to be exercised regularly. Like if you're not doing it on a regular basis and you suddenly try to jump in, you may not be able to. It's like if you haven't exercised for a while and you're like, I'm going to go out and run 5K, and then you collapse after 1K. That is the brain works the same way. So there is value in having that regular creative exercise, and that can come in a lot of ways. For in the business world, that could be reading books, just staying up to date on current ideas. But it could also be just going through the practice of coming up with ideas on your own, right? It could also be just getting familiar with a lot of different fields. So one of the interesting things about creativity and about innovation is usually the most innovative ideas are about putting disparate things together. You know, so the more knowledge you have, or the more interesting people have in your network, those are all ways you can draw inspiration and new ideas, right? So the second thing is, music and, you know, Charlie Parker, obviously, he improvised his way to these what are now classic runs or classic licks, but now they become frameworks. They're frameworks we use, right? And so in the business world too, we use frameworks all the time. You might do a SWOT analysis. You might do, in my world, you might do an innovation stage gate or something like that. But those are important to have too. They're important to know because they help you find your bearings. They give you a place to start. So you don't come undry. You come up with, at least you can think, well, if I don't have an idea, I could at least go back to the framework or the process and know where to start or know where to come in. Or I can help organize the chaos that I'm walking into some kind of progression. FOMO.
Tudo bem, meus queridos FOMO sapiens? Now that right there was Portuguese. And as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO sapiens, you know I speak 4 languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French, c'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled babbel.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply.
FOMO.
I just like the way you put that, because as I'm thinking about when you listen to a certain artist, you can hear their influences, and they oftentimes will quote licks that other people played before. And I never thought about those as frameworks, right? But when you listen to certain musicians, it's because the framework that they're coming out is the experience of having, when they were studying, playing through the whole book of Charlie Parker. So when you hear my brother, you're like, oh, this guy clearly played a ton of Charlie Parker because he's referencing some of those things in his own playing, which is fascinating. And I'd never thought about. Now, you mentioned this idea of if you don't sort of work those creative muscles, it can be harder, which is why I think a lot of artists, you know, even though they may be a musician, they're in the art museum, they're reading great literature, because any great art can feed across into other types of art. But for, you know, for somebody who's, I think when you're in the day-to-day grind of life and it's like, oh, I'm working hard, I got, you know, family responsibilities, I've got just like, I gotta cook myself dinner, and I don't have time necessarily to, you know, go to the museum and read Baudelaire or whatever people want to read for that stuff. I haven't read that, but I'm sure somebody has. What are the things that we can all do in our daily life to feed the creativity?
Well, I think it's about connecting into your passion. So I would encourage everyone to think about, in their downtime, about being creative. And what I mean is like literally creating something, literally just making something. It's very tempting when you're exhausted by the grind to, you know, binge on Netflix for 12 hours, you know, which is occasionally okay. But to make it a habit versus just being where you're ingesting all the time versus contributing something, I think actually gets you on your back foot in this game. And I empathize with this. I mean, I'm in the business of innovation, which means I can't really have bad days. You know, every client we have wants us to come up with the next breakthrough idea. And we have to stay at it. We have to be working these muscles regularly. So I try different things. I'm not a poet, but one thing I love to do when I'm traveling is I like to do word association with wherever I am. If I'm sitting in the airport, or if I'm on the plane, or I'm in a new city I've never been in, instead of hanging out in the hotel room, I might walk out, sit on a bench on the street, and start to write down what I see, or just observe, listen, and capture that. And the reason for that is it's forcing me to be curious about where I am, not to take it for granted. It's also forcing me to make associations. So I have to somehow make sense of what I'm in, this new experience that I have. And usually what I find is I don't try to associate my new experiences with other factual experiences. It's not like I'm in Rome and I see a stop sign and I think about a stop sign in Boston. I might see a stop sign in Rome, but for some reason it's unlocking something new inside of me. And I start thinking differently about it. I might start thinking, well, the traffic is running differently here than I normally see. It's at a different pace. Well, the sirens sound different. You know, the colors around me are a different color. The light is a different color. All of that, by just capturing it and writing it down, is an act of creativity. But it's also starting to build connections and new patterns in my mind, and it helps me think in a new way. So you can do that at home, right? You can just it's our own self-preservation to block out as many familiar things as we can so that we can concentrate on the thing in front of us. But actually learning to work against that, and to be observant and to listen, I think is a great way to help keep your creativity strong.
Yeah, I think we spend so much time consuming nowadays, and believe me, I am definitely doing that as well. It's like, okay, when you're reading on the internet, which is I love to do, when you're listening to podcasts, which are that's a very important thing that everybody should do all day long as it's FOMO Sapiens. When you're watching television, you're consuming. There's no creation happening. The bar is pretty low. I mean, you get out a piece of paper and draw. I'm terrible at drawing, so I don't get any joy out of that. But for me, it would be writing something, maybe. Having something that wasn't there before you came along that will be there after. That's what creativity is. That's what creation is. And I think because we've become such a consumption-oriented society and culture, you know, if you think about 100 years ago, kids drew all the time. Adults drew. People made knit stuff. They were always creating because they couldn't just order stuff on Amazon. And we've gotten away from that. But I think one of the things that's happened in the last year is that people, because they had so much free time, did reconnect, whether it was, you know, cooking or doing things around the home. And so what's great about that is it's a renewable resource. And the more that you do it, the more it goes into the rest of your world and the less, I don't know, fear is the strong word, but I guess the less that we feel apprehensive of taking risks and creating new things. So, that spills into everything because you've unlocked that door and now you're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are afraid to expose ourselves with our creativity. Often we're afraid other people are going to judge us, and you get less anxious about it the more you do it. It doesn't mean you get over it. I think many great performers I've met still say they get nervous before they go on stage, but you get the courage to keep doing it over and over again. And I think that's what you should be looking for. You know, another simple thing you can do is most people have a camera on their phone, but don't really take advantage of that. You know, if you just get curious and it's like, you know, if I said, all right, I want you to go out and take 10 photos today. You'd be like, what? Of what? Like, whatever you want. But I want you to come back with, you know, 10 stories about what you took 10 photos
but
about.
They can't be selfies. Okay. Not selfies.
Right. You know, and I think those kinds of exercises really help us. They're easy to do. For clients, sometimes I give them scavenger hunts. And this could be helpful. Like I might say, let's say we have a couple hour meeting at our office. You know, we're on a busy street. I might say, let's take 20 minutes and let's do a scavenger hunt out on the street. I want you to find an example of a high quality service design, you know, and I don't care where you go and find it. Just go find it and tell me about it. You know, or I want you to find an example for me of a well-branded experience, or I want you to find an example for me of an unusual product selection that surprised you. But even giving yourself puzzles like that will be ways to continue to unlock your mind in the business space.
And you'll never be bored. And as anybody who listens to the show knows, my biggest sort of complaint is I don't like being bored. And so it is true, like creating those moments can make life more interesting, and it can also give people a chance to show a little creativity. Now, as we're talking about this, I guess my sort of takeaway from our conversation, and I'd love you to just give your own view on this, is I think the reason why this is so powerful, and especially this idea of musicians and jazz musicians in particular, is that people and jazz musicians who are improvising, that they have moved beyond a place of fear into a place of creation. And that's why they're so respected, because these are people who are turning the book to the last page and they keep writing something new. And that's really what their whole art is about. And that, you know, that can serve you whether you're on a stage or, you know, dealing with your family or building a business or just trying to get through a pandemic. That is power. So I just want to give you the last word, because I think that, you know, I came into this conversation that was not in my head, and I'm leaving it with that in my head. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, there's, a quote attributed to Eleanor Roosevelt, which is, do one thing every day that scares you. Do you know that quote?
No, but now I'm going to be extra vigilant to freak myself out once a day.
Yeah. Well, it's in that same space, right? It's just willing to take risk, and to push yourself beyond your comfort zone. I have to remind myself of this all the time, as I'm moving into new spaces, but it's quite empowering, because it's simply about having the courage to try something. You know, in the book, we have an interview with Justin Timberlake, and he says one thing he learned from Max Martin, who is a famous songwriter. He said, Martin told him, he said, dare to suck. You know, it was like a very simple phrase. It's the same. It's a, you know, maybe not as eloquent as Eleanor Roosevelt was, but saying the same thing, which is you've just got to be willing to take that step. Because if you could take that leap, if you can say that thing, if you can go to that place, if you can talk to that person, you're you're already miles ahead of everybody else who's still locked in fear. And I think, you know, when you're talking about in the jazz space, certainly, you know, you can try things that don't work, even if your craftsmanship is great. You know, they just don't like emotionally connect with people, or it just didn't sound as cool as you wanted. But it eventually will, because you're going to try it again and try something slightly different. You're going to try it again and do something slightly different. And that's the next phase past this courage bit we're talking about, which is iteration. We want to be able to be courageous enough to take those steps. And then we want to continue to iterate upon those things that didn't work, right? They're never an end. They're never a failure. They're just part of the path toward the end.
All right, FOMO sapiens, that's some wisdom. Don't be afraid to suck. Do not embroider that onto a napkin if you decide that's going to be your creative activity, because I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it's going to look good. But pretty good words to live by. All right, Michael Hendricks, the name of the book is Two Beats Ahead. The website is twobeatsahead.com. Michael, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
FOMO.
Can't get enough of FOMO Sapiens? Join me on Patreon for ad-free episodes, bonus material, and exclusive content that will help you to master FOMO and position yourself for greater success in both business and life. Go to patreon.com/FOMOSapiens to learn more. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis, on Twitter at PJ McGinnis, and on LinkedIn. I love hearing from you, so don't be shy. FOMO Sapiens is recorded in New York City. Theme music is by Mike McGinnis, and editing and post-production is by Josh Elstro. If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me at FOMOSapiens.com and at PatrickMcGinnis.com. To advertise on FOMO Sapiens, reach out to contact@FOMOSapiens.com. FOMO.